From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left. And Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Kasakwe strikes to lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwe in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwe.
Paid up subscriber trying to stick with her late, but she is back. This fantastic filly wins the fifth, Sunbird.
Now, here's Jude Feld and James Scully.
Well, good morning, HRN Nation, wherever you may be. This is Jude Feld. Welcome to the Equine Forum. I'm delighted that Mike Penn is on vacation because I get to have James Scully with me this morning. James works for BrizNet and Twin Spires, wears a lot of hats, and he's one of the sharpest guys in our game. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jude. Glad to be here.
I'm really happy you're here. Thanks for coming on kind of short notice. I appreciate it. And looking forward to a great show. We've got a fantastic lineup today, starting out with trainer Ignacio Correas IV. He's going to join us about 8:15 and talk about Donna Bruja, who was very impressive, winning the Mint Julep and La Piba, and then Kasakwe, who we just heard winning there. At 8:35, Max Hodge is going to join us, and he's from Fasig Tipton. He's going to talk about the July sale that's coming up next week and selected horses of racing age sale and the Saratoga sale. Lots of things going on with Fasig Tipton in the next month or so. Then we're going to have in the second half of the show, Frank Lyons is a Breeders' Cup winning trainer and an all-around great guy. You might remember Frank from TVG back in the day. And Frank's got a new radio show in Lexington. So we're going to do something unique. We're going to plug somebody else's radio show. Frank's a great guy and a lot of fun to listen to. Danny Ward, assistant trainer for Jerry Hollendorfer, is going to be on board around 9:20, and he worked for Bobby Frankel when Tinner's Way was a stable star, and we'll talk to him about Tinner's Way, and we'll also talk about It Tis Well, who's running in Delaware this afternoon. And then at 9:39, Jack Brothers is going to come on and talk about the fundraiser tonight at McCarthy's for Mark Snake Thompson, guy that everybody in racing, especially in Kentucky, knows. And he had a stroke, and they're raising some dough for him tonight at McCarthy's. Great auction items and a lot of fun. So we'll talk to him. So it's going to be a busy show. We got a lot of cool things going on in racing, and we've got some excellent races today.
Yeah, dynamite racing day, especially at Belmont Park with those five stakes. But we have a preview day at Arlington, and we got stakes everywhere, you know, Delaware, Parks, Los Alamitos. So, yeah, one big weekend here before Saratoga and Del Mar get started in about a week and a half.
Yeah, it's really exciting. When I was working on the Pope Jude report, I pulled up all the races, and I go, wow, this is a lot of fun. A lot of good racing all over the country, and especially for me, at least. The races at Belmont are great, but I'm really looking forward to the races at Arlington. I'm always interested in this preview day and see if I can find a fuzzy for Arlington Million Day.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that, you know, those races serve as a preview. It's you know, you mentioned Donna Bruja, and looking forward to seeing if she can continue to step up. She's going to be a Beverly D contender, a serious contender if she runs well today.
Yeah, she was so impressive when she won at Churchill. And that's not the easiest thing in the world to do, bring a horse from South America and have him win like that in a grade three, because you never know the quality of the graded races down there. And even though she was a South American champion, she, you know, translated that. And that's always a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, you never know. I mean, there's been a lot of group one winners, champions that have come up and have not panned out. But then you get others that, you know, have just been phenomenal.
Yeah, I trained a Brazilian filly, Steffi Graf, and she was able to win a grade three here in the United States, and very talented filly, but it doesn't happen all the time. And you know, Donna Bruja, I knew Ignacio Correas was really high on her. He'd been talking to her, mm-hmm. about her to me for a couple of months. And
you know, I think also some of those horses that come up, they need a little time to acclimate, you know, maybe like some races, you know, maybe that it takes them a while. Other ones, you know, like Donna Bruja, I remember DeCito won her, you know, beat Teppan in her first U.S. start. Other ones just make a smooth transition. So, yeah, I mean, you never know. Like I remember Ribaletta and some of those, Biakoa, they really got good their second year in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. Biakoa, she comes to mind. You know, it's interesting because when I got my first South American horse, and I can't tell you, I think it was maybe West Boy back in the day, and he was a claiming horse, but he was a hard knocking campaigner. He won a bunch of races for us. He was kind of a mean horse, and other trainers would claim him off of me, and he'd bite somebody or kick somebody, and they didn't like him. They'd drop him down. They'd get him back cheaper every time, and I always did good with him. He's a good horse. He ran until he was 10. He was a pretty sound horse, and he got a little puffiness in his ankles at his first start at 10 years old. I think he finished second or third. I can't remember, but that was it. I called Miss Marino and I said, you know, this horse has been good to us. We should give him a home. And so we actually bred a couple mares to him. Mr. Marino was a gambler in that way. And his first horse to the race is one. Boys Don't Moan was his name. And anyway, when I got that horse, I went to Ron McAnally because he was the king.
Oh, the king, yeah.
And I said, Ron, what do I do? And he said, just start from scratch. Pretend that the horse is a two-year-old and just start over.
Yeah.
Give him plenty of time, lots of gallops and stuff, and then start three-eighths, couple three-eighths, couple halves, just like you would do with a young horse. And he said, that's the best way because he said, even though sometimes you think they're fit and stuff, they just need that time to get used to everything. That was some great advice, and mm-hmm. I used it pretty much my whole training career. So,
yeah, McAnally, trainer of Candy Rod.
Yeah, absolutely. countless. The other guy who was really good at that was Henry Marino. He was really good with the South Americans as well. Well, we got a poll question today, as per usual, and the poll question is this. Which equine star are you most looking forward to watching today? Cassakee, Mind Your Biscuits, or Shaman Ghost? So you can weigh in on that on Twitter, at HRRN on Twitter. Which equine star are you most looking forward to watching today? Cassakee, Mind Your Business, Shaman Ghost. And we'll see how that goes. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. You did some analysis of last week's races. What was the best race last week?
I mean, just in sheer dominance, I mean, Holy Helena, I mean, comes to mind. I mean, I was really, I mean, considering she had just broken her maiden two starts earlier in, I think, May, late April or early May, to just crush males like that, just win just so convincingly. I thought it was awesome performance.
Yeah, it was really a great thing to watch. And, you know, we were up there for the race. We broadcasted the mm-hmm. the Queen's Plate on Sunday. But before that, earlier in the week, we had gone to Mike Doyle's barn, and he's been the sub-trainer for that filly while she's been in Canada. Jimmy Jerkin's been very busy getting ready for this weekend. Right. And so I actually got to go in the stall with her.
That's
and
cool.
Walked in the stall, and she was so beautiful. I mean, her coat, you know, you hear people say, oh, you know, shine like a new penny, or I mean, this filly had a glow, almost like an angelic glow. She's not a real big filly, not super impressive to look at, you know, mm-hmm. but oh my God, did she look good? Was she in good health?
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. And then to watch her run, to watch that overpowering, really 5/16 of a mile run that she put in, it was just breathtaking.
Yeah,
and
Ghost Zap are such a phenomenal sire. I mean, turf, sprinters, routers. You know, he had McCracken this year, who didn't work out in the Derby, but he could still make an impact like this fall. And You know, it's really neat that cross too, with Holy Bull having just died recently, you know, being the dam sire. And I had seen where Doyle, you know, he talked about in the notes about being down in Florida earlier this year and telling Jimmy Jerkins, hey, we got to get a race in her. We got to get her to run because she's the Ontario bred. And, you know, it really worked out great for them.
Yeah, it really did. It was a fantastic effort. She was magnificent. Well, we have already come to our first break, believe it or not. So we're going to take a couple of minutes, and then we'll be back with trainer Ignacio Correas. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention horsemen, get ready for great racing and big purses at Kentucky Downs, highlighted by two new Greatest Stakes events in 2017 and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies. Kentucky Downs will offer one of the world's most lucrative racing programs during its five-day all-turf season, September 2nd to the 14th. Two new Grade 3 races, the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint and Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf, join the $600,000 Grade 3 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup for an average exceeding $1.68 million in purses a day. Tops in the country. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Top of the stretch, Believe in Birdie, the one to catch. Donna Bruja to the attack. Sky My Sky battles on. Linda's fourth, one for long to go. Believe in Birdie leads down to half a length. Here's Donna Bruja with a surge on the outside to take charge. It's Donna Bruja in front. Believe in Birdie has to fight back, but Donna Bruja has the lead, and she's opening up late. Donna Bruja to win it by a length and a half on the wire.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld, and I'm in studio, the Lexington of Jimmy John studio, as a matter of fact, with James Scully. And we're having a great time. We're going to be joined now by a fabulous trainer, International Trainer Deluxe, Ignacio Correas IV. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jude. Good morning, James. I mean, thanks for your introduction. A little bit too much. I'm laughing myself.
Well, you are the International Trainer Deluxe. You've been all over the world. You've worked for some of the greatest trainers of all time. You've been involved in this business your whole life, and wow, how impressive was Donna Bruja winning the other day?
Oh, I mean, it was, incredible. I mean, we were very happy to see, you know, that she adapted, you know, in the United States, and very impressed with the way she did it. I mean, by the time she ran that race, she had been here only four months and a half. So that is, like, for my taste, it's like too little. You know, they need at least the 6 months. But our goal was, you know, the Beverly D, and we want to have her a couple of races under her belly before we reach that race. So, but it looked like she was ready to fire. She's a very nice filly.
Yeah, it was impressive. She got a very good speed figure in that race. She won rather easily. Declan Cannon did a great job with her, and he's back aboard today. You also have La Piba entered, and what do you think about her chances?
She's not running. She's going to Ellis.
Oh, she's going to Ellis. All right. So we got a scratch. All right. Beautiful.
You have a scratch.
I love that. I love when a trainer has two entered and they scratch one. That means they must like the other one.
She's on a stake at Ellis today.
All right. Good
she's going to run at Ellis.
I noticed, sir, that you Donna Bruja had a bull at work at Keeneland. It looked like she had been training pretty well. Was she really touting herself before that Mint Julep performance? I mean, were you confident she was going to run well that day?
Well, I mean, I was confident that she's going to run well, but it was a, you know, that filly that she beat is a very tough filly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she won. What I was more interested in was of Declan to get to know her and see how Declan fit in her, because she have, you know, and that was always my impression, like a 316 big turn of foot, and you have to be very accurate of that, because if not, then she gets, you know, even. But so, I mean, what we were looking more was for that, and he accomplished that. He did a great job riding her, and after that race, I mean, she was always very sharp. I mean, it's not that she worked the bullet. I mean, mm-hmm. You have to see her work. She worked the bullet. She can go probably 3 seconds faster. I mean, it's for her to work like that is it's not even a work. It's for me, it's one of the – I said it. I don't know if I told you, Jude. I mean, before the filly come, for me, this is one of the best fillies in the grass. Not on the dirt, I don't mean by Jacoba, Paciano, all those dirt fillies, but on the grass in Argentina in the last 20, 25 years.
Well, she was. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No. I mean, on the grass, for me, is one of the best fillies that I've seen in the last 20, 25 years in my country.
Wow. Well, that's really high praise. A lot of really good horses come out of Argentina, and she was a real win machine down there. I mean, she won, you know, raced primarily on turf, but she even won on dirt. And like you said, Believe in Birdie really was like lone speed in that Mint Julep, and it was a huge gap from Believe in Birdie back to third. And just really an impressive finishing kick that Donna Bruja offered that day.
Well, I mean, on that day is. When you saw the race on the quarter pool, it's like the only doubt that you have is the glass of the one that is on the lead, that you know that, you know, she has the speed and she's a good filly, but she is galloping there. And then she got that kick, and that is lethal, you know. But, of course, with the races, you're going to face tougher competitors every time you move up. So, it's, you know, you need to find your... I guess that you're ceiling, and hopefully we don't. But, you know, but you get better horses, Time and Motion, Stidham's filly. I mean, the better fillies, we're talking about Grade 1 winners now and Grade 1 classes. I mean, it's like the races are getting tougher for her, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. This is a little bit tougher spot than she ran in last time. But it looks like just watching your workout pattern, and you know, I, since you and I are friends for a while, I always study your training and how you do things, and it looks to me like you can kind of do whatever you want with her as you can most good horses. I mean, she'll work fast, she'll work easy, she'll go work a really solid 7/8, she'll work a fast 5/8. I mean, is she that easy to train?
Well, the only problem with her is that she can go too fast. So you have to be able to control her speed in the mornings and her gallop. She want to do. It's like Robbie, you know, Robbie Medina, sister of Sugar, you know, saw a filly working in pace. She looked good. He said, yeah, the problem is that she got only one speed. And I say, what that is? Fast. You know? So that's their problem, you know. She likes to do everything fast. So you have to control her, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the, if you control her, then she's pretty easy, but she tend to trick, you know, the riders thinking that, you know, they're going easier than they are. I mean, and she just flies in the mornings. But we know that now, so we have, you know, trained on the 59th for the one who wins. And it makes her life easy. It makes me sleep easy. You know, everybody's life is easy when you can control that. She's very easy. I mean, it's very easy to be around. She's a smart filly. You know, good horses usually, especially fillies when they're good, they're nice, they're an easy to train. When, you know, you have one crazy one every now and then.
Yeah.
That's life, but, I mean, she's not. I mean, she's a sweetheart. She's very nice.
I always say you got to train fillies like they're, just like they're women. Let them call the shots. You can't make them do anything. It's got to be their idea, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, and always, you know, the horses are good. I mean, and when they're good, you have to, you know, try to not interfere too much with them, you know?
Yeah.
Just try to play along and try to look up, you know, for their well-being, and they want to deliver for you the, you know, they're good.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between the good ones and the ones that are not so good.
Well, speaking of good ones, you've got Kasaki in the Arlington Handicap, and he's one of my favorites. I mean, this is a horse that tries every time you send him to the track. I mean, he loves to run, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he always showed up. So we're expecting, you know, him to run a good race. I mean, hopefully it's not a very tough race. It's more than nothing. It's a prep for the million. So that's how we take it. That's how we approach it. I mean, we're not looking to go and take everything out of him. We are looking more for get a good race on him and have him ready in 4 more weeks.
Has he moved?
And that's the.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Has he? Have you really seen an improvement from last year? I know that you know, unlike Donna Bruja, he wasn't you know, highly successful when he was racing in South America. But and then you got him. I guess his first race for you was last year, and he won the Arlington Handicap, and you know, obviously second in the Arlington Million. But really, I thought that Wise Dam was his best performance yet. I mean, just a real authoritative victory. And I was wondering, have you noticed? I mean, has he really come to hand this season?
I think that his difference between last season and this one is that, you know, he probably is older and smarter, and he plays himself a little bit further than he used to from the pace. So, and he find that finally he can, you know, come from, you know, 6-7 lengths or 5 lengths off the pace instead of having to stalk the pace, and that made a big difference for him. And he's more comfortable with, you know, with that way of racing than when he was stalking. And I don't know if he's better or not. I mean, he's more seasoned. He's, you know, as I said, he's smarter. You know, he knows what he has to do. So, I mean, if he have a couple of, you know, very unlucky trips, I will say, this year, early in this year, mm-hmm. because the pace was not the right one. And then he got on the race on the way down the right pace. And he delivers, you know, the way we saw. But, you know, racing, when you have a horse that, you know, run off the pace, turf racing could be, you know, very tough because sometimes you have the best horse and you lose. And that's the way it's, you know, it is. And if you cannot take it that, probably you shouldn't run on the turf in this country because when... when you get, you know, 316s, you know, when you come home, you have 316s to the wire and you have box, you are done, you know. And sometimes you have the best horse and you run fifth. So yeah, it's a matter of Trip have a lot to do, of course, the quality of the horse. But I think that he has have, I mean, I think that the Trip that he had on the Wise Dan was like a dream, you know. They went fast on the lead. He was on the outside. He was ready to kick on the quarter pole with all the, you know, the whole track for him. You know, and when you get that kind of Trip, if you're a good horse, you're obliged to deliver.
Yeah. I thought Jimmy Graham did a great job on him. How did you choose Jimmy to ride him?
I think that Jimmy's, you know, is a very good, you know, grass rider, and he's aggressive. And him being, you know, older and smarter, you know, he just, you know, don't try to, you know, it's like you want to keep him closer to the pace and he wants to go back and relax, you know, and then come back from, instead of 10, try to come back from 5 or 6 of the pace. And I think that Jimmy was aggressive enough for that. I mean, he's a rider that is, he has strength and he's very aggressive, you know, when you need it to. So, I mean, the owner, we talked with Jan and that's what she wanted. And I think that was a good fit.
Yeah, excellent. I really thought going into the race, he was a good fit for that horse, and that's why I asked you, because I really liked not that, you know, I love Joe Bravo, but I thought Jimmy was a great fit for this horse, and it certainly worked out.
Yeah,
you used the same pattern to go to the Arlington Million as you did this year, the Wise Dan, the Arlington Handicap, and then the Arlington Million. So it's it was successful last year. It could be successful again this year.
Well, I think that is already successful, you know, and then if we can build from what we have, I mean, it would be great.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anything, you know, we did good last year. We got like 2 seconds and 1 first, and for now we're 1 first, so we're good on the good path. And that's, you know, why you're gonna change things. And I don't really want to go somewhere that instead of being 9 to 5, I'm, you know, 15 to 1.
Right.
I don't think that that's very smart. It's gonna be, there are races with more money, probably, but you know, we set up our goal in August, so we'll wait till August for the money.
All right,
well, we can get it.
Yeah, yeah, that's always the case. Well, Ignacio, thank you so much for spending some time. I know you got a lot of things to do, and we appreciate you coming on and filling us in on the Stable Stars.
Yes, good luck to you, sir.
Thank you very much, guys. Nice talking to you. Bye.
And that was Ignacio Correas the IV. And once again, it's time for a break. So we're going to do the Lexus Legends of the Turf, and we'll be back.
He was the son of Forley out of Lady Golconda by Hasty Road and was foaled in 1970, the same year as Secretariat. But while Secretariat began showing championship mettle as soon as he began to train, this horse was very rapidly acquiring a marked reputation as an unmanageable rogue. He was a huge colt who very early on displayed an ungentlemanly interest in fillies. Further, he had the dangerous and painful habit of savaging any individual who dared come close enough to him. His owners, the Lazy F Ranch, had him gelded to try to correct a problem, and though that surgical process made him at least trainable, he never got to the racetrack till he was 3. He broke his maiden in his second start and had second place finishes in the Hutchinson Stakes and the Florida Derby. But he ran a distant 4th while priced at 28-1 to Secretariat, and that colt's record-smashing win in the Kentucky Derby. This horse came into his zone in his sophomore season on the track in the fall with convincing scores in the Roamer and the Discovery Handicaps at Aqueduct, and that, as the saying goes, was the start of something big indeed. At 4, his star shone brightly in the heavens of Thoroughbred Racing. He began that campaign with 4 straight wins. He was a strikingly handsome, huge bay, standing 17-plus hands, and one could easily pick him out of a crowd of horses at any distance. He did have a gift for the crowd-pleasing late charge that made him very popular with the public, and horsemen were awed by his incredible versatility. At the conclusion of his four-year-old campaign, he won the 12-furlong Woodward by a neck, and 3 weeks later came back to soundly whip the nation's premier sprinters and the 7-furlong Vosburg handicap, winning it by 3. And just 3 weeks after that, he rolled to a devastating win over a solid field of 9 distance horses in the grueling 2-mile Jockey Club Gold Cup. In that year of 1974, he won 3 Eclipse Awards, Best Older Horse or Gelding, Best Sprinter, and Horse of the Year. He followed that year with 2 other scores as Horse of the Year, both in 1975 and 1976. In both those years, he won 2 legs of the handicap Triple Crown. The second year, just missing the triple and losing by a heartbreaking nose to Foolish Pleasure in the Suburban. His 1976 campaign as final on the racetrack found him chalking up one of the most remarkable victories in the chronicled annals of racing in the Marlborough Cup. Honest Pleasure was in receipt of 18 pounds from this horse, who was burdened with a weighty impost of 137 pounds. Honest Pleasure moved out to what appeared to be an insurmountable lead in that 10-furlong test. At the top of the stretch, you couldn't find our horse of the day with a proverbial searchlight. But on a sloppy track, Bill Shoemaker turned him loose and he gobbled up huge chunks of real estate in an absolutely breathtaking run that made him appear as though literally shot from a cannon. He got up to win it in the very last stride by a head in a heart-stopping charge to the wire. He was finally forced into retirement by a bad ankle, but not before he had answered the call to post 57 times and winning 34 of those and being in the money on 50 of those occasions. 50 for 57 in the money. Remarkable. That great thoroughbred who turned from rogue to champion and was, in every sense of the word, a people's horse was for go.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by tastingtable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler. Miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They come into the stretch after three quarters in 1-11. And here is Connect on the outside of Divining Rod. And Realm has moved into third. It's Divining Rod on the inside and Connect on the outside. It's a heck of a stretch run in the Cigar Mile. They come down for the finish. Divining Rod and Connect. Heads apart on the line. Connect on the outside. Divining Rod on the inside. Just a terrific finish in the 2016 edition of the Grade 1 Cigar Mile.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld, and I'm in the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio with James Scully. And Connect is a fantastic horse, very talented. And the reason I picked that rejoin is he graces the cover of the Fasig Tipton July sale. And we're joined right now with Max Hodge. Max, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Max is a mucky muck over at Fasig Tipton, and I know you're out looking at horses this morning and getting ready for the big sale. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we've got two different sales, the first of next week, the first being the Horses of Racing Age sale we'll have on Monday afternoon or evening with 125 horses in training, and follow that up with 300 yearlings beginning at 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, it's kind of unique, the Horses of Racing Age sale, and it's been an area that's been picking up around the country. A lot of people interested in getting some ready-made horses, especially summertime.
Yeah, this is the perfect time with Southern California close to the transition to Del Mar, and then New York very close to shipping to Saratoga, with Kentucky going to Ellis and then Kentucky Downs. A lot of stables in transition, a lot of people out there looking to attack those particular meets, with Del Mar offering the ship and win bonus, which is very attractive for people to bring in horses that haven't been on that circuit before. So it's been very popular. It's grown. I think this is by far the best catalog we've offered in the past and gotten more support from some of the bigger stables. We've got a nice group from Windstar, nice group from Stone Street. Judmont has a few in there. You see Elite Sales, which is a totally new consignment that's going to focus on this sector of the market. They've got some really nice horses in the sale. So there's some excellent opportunities here on Monday evening to come over and buy a ready-made horse and be in the winner circle really quickly.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you know, Fasig Tipton is so adept at finding these niche markets. You've got the turf yearling sale coming up. That's another unique idea. What do you guys do? Sit around at lunch and kick ideas around? How does all that work?
Well, you know, you just have to look at sectors of the market that are on the rise. The turf market, you know, when you really analyze it, you say, wow, 40% of the graded races in North America are run on turf. You know, that's the number of races run in America has continued to condense, but the turf racing is growing, and not only in numbers, but in the purse size. It's something that tracks, you know, they have more handle when turf fields are generally bigger, and therefore they handle more money, so they're writing more of them. And you see a transition here where some stud farms are bringing in more horses that are turf-type sires. It's a growing sector, so we decided to serve it. And we're really happy with the group of horses we have for that sale here, which will be in Kentucky on September 10th. We're looking at a little over 150 horses and really happy with the quality we've assembled. So looking forward to that this fall.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. Nobody loves turf racing more than me. I think it's outstanding and looking forward to that sale. Talk about the horses that are coming up on Tuesday. All the yearlings and maybe hit some of the sires that people would be interested in.
Well, we've got a really good group. This is a select sale, so we actually screen the pedigrees first and then go out on the farms and inspect them. So we've kind of made your short list for you. So hopefully when you show up, you see a nice uniform group of early, maturing, well-conformed yearlings. We have sires in all price ranges, and horses will be in all price ranges too. So happy with the group we have, and you know, it's busy out here on the sales grounds, and really looking forward to getting the yearling sales kicked off for this year.
Yeah, you guys do an excellent job with your selection process. You've got a great team. I always wanted to be on that team. And, you know, it's very interesting that you've got this sale and then you've got the Saratoga sale, which is also select. So you guys are out there, you know, tromping around farms as early as March.
Yeah, we shortly after our sale down at Gulfstream wraps up, we hit the ground running all over the United States and throughout Canada and sometimes internationally, and going to farms and inspecting these yearlings. So that's a fun time of year. It's pretty chaotic and hectic getting everything coordinated with the different farms and getting out there looking at the yearlings. But we cover everywhere from California all through Canada and, of course, Kentucky, Ocala, pretty densely populated with these horses. New York is pretty good ground for us, and then especially following the Saratoga Selected sale with the New York Bred Preferred sale just the week after that in Saratoga. So we cover a lot of ground to find these horses and pick on them pretty tough. You know, the criteria is pretty high, so if they're in here, they're pretty nice. And I think that leads to something we're really proud of, is these, the July sale and the Saratoga sale, are number one and number two in percentage of stakes winners, graded stakes winners, winners, two-year-old winners. So in every category, we lead in the percentages. So it's fertile ground for people shopping for runners.
Yeah, let's talk about the Saratoga sale for a minute. You know, it's just sensational every year, and it's kind of an event. It's not just your average horse sale. I mean, it's more of an experience. Talk about that.
It is. It's fantastic. You know, the weekend of racing that NYRA has put together there just before the sale is over the top with the Whitney. And, you know, we do a sponsorship there, and they call that the Phasic Dipping Festival of Racing. So we lead into the sale with just fantastic cards of, over there at the track. And we're just, you know, a half a block away. It's walking distance. So when you finish looking, you can just walk right over. And the sale is an extremely unique atmosphere. It's jam-packed with people. We get a lot of locals, a lot of gawkers. You have all the industry power players there. So it's phenomenal. You guys have done the radio show for the last several years. So it's great to present that to folks out there to kind of paint that picture for them. But it's unique in that it's so well attended, and it's really a cocktail party that actually has a horse sale going on in the background.
And people. Really a distinguished list of alumni to come through that sale here in recent years with American Pharoah. This year's Belmont Stakes winner, Taprit, sold for $1.2 million at the Saratoga sale. And even Nyquist, you know, you basically have had Phasic Tipton. He sold in the Florida sale, but Phasic graduates have been, you know, huge in the Triple Crown in the last 3 years.
That's right. And, you know, also out of that Saratoga Selected sale, we had Teppan come through the ring there, mm-hmm. Songbird, and Stellar Wind. So, you know, when you're talking about people have come to buy horses that go on to do things like that, you can see why they continue to come back. It's nothing but the best, and these horses go on to perform at the highest level all over the world. So that's something we take a lot of pride in.
Yeah, all of them great champions. So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, those three fillies sound like the Supremes. That's a group right there. That gave me chills when you said that. That's an incredible record right there. But yeah, you know, you mentioned the gawkers, and it's kind of, you know, I have mixed emotions about it. Being a purist and training horses for so long, I don't like looky-loos per se. And you know, but at the Saratoga sale that first night, when everybody comes out and everybody's dressed up and the local people, it's like their chance to act like they're horsemen if they're not, you know? And it's kind of cool in a way. It's such a unique thing. You don't see that anywhere else.
It is, and I think it's something that lends itself to bringing new people into the game. There are actually two major players that are relatively new to the game that, you know, in talking to them and, you know, picking their brain about how they decided to jump in. A couple of them have said, you know, I came to that Saratoga sale just to observe things, and I was just so impressed by the facility, the atmosphere, and it's just looked like a lot of fun, and it's just something I really wanted to participate in. And, you know, that's good to know that while sometimes it might be really loud there and, you know, it's not your typical horse sale, it's good to know that that atmosphere is drawing people in. And I think we need more of that, and that's something we've created as well down at the sale at Gulfstream Park where, you know, you get a really massive crowd out because it's held in conjunction with the race meet, and you have a lot of people in town for that, but then you get the people that come in for the sales as well, and it lends itself to a really good time and a really good horse sale.
Yeah, and you know, the bars are great, the food is always good at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale. You got that art auction that goes on there too, so you got beautiful paintings to look at if you get a little time in between hip numbers. So it's just a very unique place, and I look forward to it every. We love doing the show from there, and you know, I've told you this before, but I'm gonna say it again for our listeners. We did a show one time, and there was an American who was in Afghanistan, and he sent Mike an email right after we did the show. And he said that this was just the most fantastic thing. I'm missing the Saratoga sale this year because I have to work in Afghanistan. And he goes, I was just so happy to feel like I was there. And I told Mike, I said, if we did it for that one person, that it was worth it. And it's a really good experience. And I think the fans really enjoy the broadcast of the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale.
Well, we appreciate you guys being there, and it's a lot of fun, and it lends itself to it. I remember a couple of years ago when Baffett was there, and I think he just grabbed a headset from you guys, sat down, and told some great stories. That was the year he had American Pharoah, so it was fitting, and it was great for people out there to hear him talk candidly about the sales process, what he does, and what he looks for. I think it's not only entertaining but educational to get those opportunities to people to hear those things out there.
Yeah, it was great. He was dodging a television interview he didn't want to do, so he just came over. The headsets were waiting for another guest. He just sat down, and we had to tell the other guest, well, we got a bigger name on line one. So anyway, yeah, that was cool. That was a very cool moment for Mike and I. We really, really enjoyed that, and we appreciate you guys and your support of what we do here. So appreciate all the kind words, Max, and you taking the time. I know you're really busy, and it's been great talking to you this morning.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, and good night, Barbados.
Good night. Thank you, Max.
All righty.
Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton, and Max and Ignacio Correas are both going to get gifts courtesy of Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at embracetherace.com. Well, we knocked another one out. We're just cruising right along here, having some fun on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
New for 2017 at Spendthrift Farm, Hit It A-Bomb. The precocious, undefeated Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and the only Breeders' Cup winner by elite sire Warfront. One of Warfront's best-bred sons at stud, hailing out of a stakes-winning Sadler's Wells mare, his half-sister, Brave Anna, is a current Grade 1 winner and leading 2-year-old filly in Europe in 2016. Hit It A-Bomb, standing at Spendthrift.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And the fillies hit the front. Holy Helena running away. Mega Gray in second. Channel Maker the outside. And deeper on the track is Tis a Slam. But it is Holy Helena three in front. Tis a Slam runs to second. But she is poetry in motion, Holy Helena. And she's won it by three lengths.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld, and I'm in the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio with James Scully. We're having a great time here this morning. And Holy Helena.
Yes.
What a race. Very impressive.
Very impressive. You know, like I said, to me, a filly like that is it's a little bit like in the mold last year of Arrogate, where, you know, she wasn't on anybody's radar in late March, hadn't broken her maiden yet, broke her maiden in April, and two starts later, she's winning a mile and a quarter classic over males by open lengths at Woodbine. Just a real fast rising, up-and-coming type.
Yeah, meteoric rise to stardom, really, and that was a question mark for her going in. Would she be able to do that? Could she run a mile and a quarter off not much seasoning and all of that? Traditionally, the Queen's Plate's won by horses that have run distances and lots of races. And so this was kind of a wild card, but man, what a fantastic performance.
Yeah, just, you know, and she wasn't even the favorite in the Woodbine Oaks, but by virtue of that win, was the favorite in the Queen's Plate, solid favorite, and definitely ran to it. And, you know, the question in the aftermath was, will she, you know, proceed on to the Breeders and try to go for the Canadian Triple Crown? But Jerkins said, no, he wants to prepare for the Alabama and take on three-year-old fillies. And I don't blame him. I think a case can be made that while Abel Tasman and some others that ran in the first half of the year are nice fillies, I wouldn't be scared of them. A horse like Holy Helena, to me, can win the Eclipse Award if she continues to move forward. And I like the move going to the Alabama.
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite. I kind of wish she would run. I think the race on the dirt is a no-brainer for her, the Prince of Wales. And then you got to see about the grass, but,
right,
you know, and a mile and a half. So I can understand why maybe the Alabama's possibly a better fit, but, you know, I'm kind of a traditionalist.
Well, that's, yeah.
I would go for the Triple Crown, but anyway, you know, Jerkins has done a great job. I thought it was interesting. That race is so prestigious, the Queen's Plate, and he didn't even make the trip because he was worried about this week.
Right.
Maybe not worried is the word, but concerned about, you know, getting his horses ready for today.
Right.
And so,
but like you mentioned earlier, he has complete faith and confidence in Mike Doyle, and the filly was in good hands at Woodbine. So
yeah, she couldn't have looked any better.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, to me, one thing about, you know, talking about Jerkins, you know, his dad, the chief, Alan Jerkins, one of the greatest trainers of all time, just a, you know, phenomenal, won so many big races, important races, especially on the East Coast. And it's, to me, it's been neat to see his son, Jimmy Jerkins. He's won a couple Breeders' Cup races in years past with Corinthian and Artie Schiller. And then this year to win the Sanity, the Handicap, and the Queen's Plate, two premier races that, you know, his dad never won. I just think it has to be really neat for the family.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And, Jimmy Jerkins, you know, he's always kind of got that shadow of Alan Jerkins looming over him, which I know doesn't bother him at all, but he's such a good trainer. Right. And he's one of the best trainers we have in the United States, and he's very thoughtful of his horses and always, you know, tries to do the best he can at all times. So it's I think sometimes he flies under the radar. Let's just put it that way. He's not a gregarious guy. He's not, right, you know, somebody that's out promoting himself all the time. He's just at the barn doing his work. And, I asked him to come on the show with us this morning, and knowing that it was a crazy day and all that. And he said, I'm really sorry, but I've got so many things going on Saturday. There's just no good time for me to come on. And I said, I totally get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I mean, one thing I'd like to ask him, when Alan Jerkins passed away, you know, the tributes are just incredible. I loved what Lucas said about him at the time, about how he was always willing to help others and, you know, pass along his horsemanship. And one neat thing I saw was, you know, Jimmy's grandfather, Alan's father, was a member of the Austrian cavalry. Mm. And when he came to America, he started like a animal hospital, rehabilitated horses and other animals, just a, you know, tremendous horseman, I'm sure. And I was just wondering if any of those old school traits were passed down, if he's still incorporating any of those today.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. I mean, Alan Jerkins was a great tinkerer with his horses. He was always making little adjustments and changing equipment or bits or whatever it was. He was always trying to find just the perfect mix for a particular horse. And I think that's just that's kind of like a family tradition. I think Jimmy Jerkins is the same way, and it's the old school training. It's longer workouts and, you know, steady gallops and just outstanding horsemen, the whole group. He's got quite a lineup this afternoon.
Absolutely. I mean, Unified is going in the Belmont Sprint. I think, to me, he opened this year, first race off 8th month layoff. I thought that Gulfstream Park Sprint was just a phenomenal performance. He beat Mind Your Biscuits, who, coming off the Malibu, was, I think, definitely a little bit more race fit than Unified was that day. And then off of that huge win, Mind That Biscuits comes back and wins the Dubai Golden Shaheen by open lens. I thought he may have like regressed a little bit in that Carter running second. Jerkins has turned around, freshened him up. I don't think you'll see him sitting 2 lengths off of the pace like he was in the Carter. I think he'll be more forwardly placed from post 7. And if he runs a big race today, which he's capable of, he's obviously another contender. And, you know, last year's, I thought by the end of the year, the Breeders' Cup Sprint field really sort of fell apart. This year, it's got a different makeup right now, where you have a whole bunch of exciting contenders, horses like Inherit the Win, I thought was awesome, and Limousine Liberals coming on. I know Danzig Candy is sort of being considered for both the mile, dirt mile, and sprint, but to me, you know, he's a tremendous candidate for that, for the sprint as well, and that's getting to be a deep division.
Yeah, and he's also got Shaman Ghost, right, today, one of the top three horses in the United States, would you say?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, really coming to hand. You know, I think his last two races have been his best, the Big Cap and the Pimlico Special. He got huge brisk numbers from us for both efforts. And I think it's interesting that he did ship him out to Santa Anita to run him, because this year's Breeders' Cup's at Del Mar. I don't know if Jerkins has ever run any horses at Del Mar before, but I do know that, like, Artie Schiller won at Belmont when he won the Breeders' Cup Mile, and Corinthian won at Monmouth. So those are East Coast tracks. And it's interesting to see him ship a horse like Shaman Ghost out west to sort of get him acclimated. And he's going to face a tall task against Arrogate, this November, if Arrogate's there as expected. But I think that only helps his chances for the fall.
Yeah, and he's also got one in the old Cornhusker.
That's right, Dolphus. You know, Dolphus is really an up-and-coming type. You know, really ran a big race in the Pimlico Special to be second. Well-bred colt, and he's coming along nicely. He could be a sleeper moving forward.
Yeah, he's a cool horse owned by Dee Dee McGee, Heaven Trees, that beautiful pink house on the other side of Keeneland. So we wish them all the luck.
Half brother to Rachel.
Half brother to Rachel Alexandra, that's right. Well, let's break 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart at the 16th pole, a length from Bala Bali, free rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the Shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
IRAP with the lead. Practical Joe giving all he's got. IRAP 31-1. Wins the Toyota Bluegrass with Julian Laperoux aboard.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Now here's Jude Feld and James Scully.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. You just heard Jude and James here. Sorry about your luck. The Baron on vacation. He's having a lovely time, as far as I could see. So we'll get him back next week. But for now, we're very happy to be here, and we have a great guest on, a guy that's just phenomenal, a fantastic human being, somebody that I've known for many years, probably too many years to talk about. But he's got a new radio show in Lexington, and Frank Lyons, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jude, how? Yeah, I thought you were talking about someone else there.
Oh, you know, you're one of my favorite people of all time, Frank.
Jude, you are one of my favorites too.
Well, it's a mutual admiration society here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah. We love everyone.
Yeah, so tell us about your new show. This was news to me. I found out from our producer, Sean C., that you started a show, and I said, oh, let's get Frank on and talk about it.
Yeah, it's on now for 5 weeks. This will be the sixth week tomorrow. It goes on from 7 o'clock a.m. till 8 o'clock a.m. on a Sunday morning, every Sunday. Riders up on ESPN Radio, 1300 AM, and you can tune in. We have all sorts of guests. We have Tony Matos this week, who is the agent for Evan Roman, who's the sensational rider from a young rider from California, the apprentice rider, only apprentice rider to win the title out at Santa Anita. He shared it with Evan this year, but. Or he shared it with Flavian Pratt this year. But I guess Evan gets the win because he had more seconds than Flavian did. So, and he is just, he's only 19, and he is a phenomenal rider. Have you seen him, dude?
Yeah, no, he's just done a great job. And how nice for him to get an agent like Tony Matos to start out with. There probably hasn't been an apprentice this sensational since Steve Valdez back in the day. I think he won like six races for Frankel one day at Santa Anita. He was a sensational rider too. This kid, everybody's using him. He's winning races in bunches, and it's great for Tony, and it's great for the kid.
Yeah, well, you know, Tony has booked riders on six winning mounts in the Kentucky Derby, so he's represented by a fantastic agent, and he's represented everyone from Lafice to Angel Cordero, Kent DeSormo, Pat Valenzuela, Chris Antley, Garrett Gomez. He's had the who's who of riders.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, you know, for people who don't know who you are, You are a Breeders' Cup winning trainer, and you spent a lot of time on TVG. I thought quite possibly the best person ever on TVG. James is shaking his head. Yes,
you.
Talk about it, James.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, and like Jude said, I learned, you came to my attention in 95 with the Desert Stormer, Philly beating the Males, a great training job there. And then when TVG started up, a lot of the hosts that they initially hired, didn't know a lot about racing, but they were extremely fortunate to have you on there with not only great knowledge, but highly entertaining, and you did a great job for years there.
Well, thank you so much, and I loved my time at TVG, and TVG is a great channel. You know, they've done a lot for the game, and I'm a supporter of TVG's no matter what happens.
And now you're partnering in with Johnny Gaver, is that correct?
Johnny Gaver, yeah, John Gaver is, Jack Gaver trained for Green Tree.
Absolutely.
And, John Gaver, his grandfather, trained Stage Door Johnny to win the Belmont.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. I'm nicknamed John Stage Door Johnny. he's got a great insight and he knows a lot about the game.
Yeah, very, very smart. I've known John for years.
Talk about your background a little bit, Frank, how you got into the horse business.
Well, it was my dad really wasn't a fan of horse racing because he had three brothers. One of them died, got killed in a car accident, and the second eldest brother, he got the farm, and so he was a gambler, and he lost the whole farm because of gambling. So my father was afraid that I would get into horse racing and gamble my way through life. So he would never encourage going to races. But my mom is a huge fan of horse racing. And as a younger lady, she would always bring me when she'd go to the races. Because as a young married lady, you wouldn't go to the races by yourself. So she'd bring me along at 5 years old. I just fell in love with the sport and have always just, the only thing I know in this world is horses. And I just loved it from day one and have been a huge fan ever since. I went at like 5 years old. I used to imagine that we owned a horse and like I'd follow this in someone else's name completely. And, just had the favorite horses that I followed and just have always been passionate about the game like you guys.
Well, we're going to the track and all that. How did you transfer that into becoming a horseman yourself?
Well, at 18 when I left school, I went to work for Dermot Weld's mother. You obviously are well aware of Dermot Weld, but I worked for his mother, and I worked for Dermot as well then a little later on. And Dermot's mother was just the greatest woman you've ever met, and I worked there for a year and a half for her and just got introduced to the game. She had a farm and worked around all the animals, all the horses, and then I went to the Irish National Stud and did the stud course there. That's like going to a college, basically, for horses. It's only about an eight-month training program, but you go to school at night and you learn about the physical makeup of horses, and you learn about the breeding, and you learn all around in the horse industry, and then you work during the day on the farm. And there was only 26 students. And that was kind of like an introduction to the game. And then I came to America to work for Bill O'Neill at Circle O Farm for about a year. And then I was supposed to go back to Ireland to farm to an assistant manager's job on a farm. But after being here for a year and seeing the American lifestyle, I loved it. And when I went back to Ireland, the job that was waiting for me was not really a job at all. It was just like, I was going in, a young guy going in with all these guys that have been on the farm forever. Or the big fan, young guy coming in as his manager, and they showed me where I was going to live, and it was in a trailer. They showed me where the bathroom was. That was like 100 yards down the road from the trailer, and I was like, oh, God, I cannot do this. So I went home. And I told my mom and dad I got to go back to America. And that was a very hard thing to do because, you know, they were so glad to have me home. And they thought that I was going to be on the farm with the assistant manager's job. And so, you know, I remember, like, the sadness in my mom and dad's thinking that their son was going to go away to America and probably never come home. But and mom and dad are still around, and, you know, we talk all the time. They're very involved. They listen to the show live every Sunday. And so I came back to America, worked at Circle Oak Farm. Then I worked at John Abell Farm, and I was, you know, I always loved the thoughts of training. And if you had an hour, I could tell you how I got into ended up training Desert Stormer for you know, for the Breeders' Cup. That was a tremendous feeling.
Yeah, I remember how you looked after that race, and of course we were a lot younger then, but I don't want to say I was envious. I was very happy for you for winning, but just your actions after that race, I still see it in my head, and how you looked, and you were just glowing after that race, and it was a very special moment, I'm sure.
Well, I think that everyone that's in that position is really just very, very lucky to get to that point at any time of your life. And, you know, it's something I'll never forget anyway.
Yeah, I would imagine not. Well, you had to overcome a lot of things with that filly, and that was certainly a glorious day. So
yeah.
What about the how did this transition into radio occur?
So, you know, since I came back to Lexington, we moved back here about 8 months ago, and I've always, you know, I know so many people, and I know them, you know, like as you do, Jude, you know, I know them so well, and I just felt like I had to give something back to the industry, and radio seemed the perfect place. And I was saying to Mike Cameron, who's on the Mike and Matt show, I was telling Mike that I'd love to get into radio, and he introduced me to Craig Olive, and they said, look, if you want to start up, we, you know, start with an hour one day, and then maybe down the road, if it gets, you know, if it gets popular, we'll give you a little more time. And it just kind of came to...
Well, that's good. That's great that you're getting started, and the show is Riders Up, and it's on 1300 AM.
Yep.
Every Sunday morning from 7 to 8. Is it a live show or is it taped?
It's live some weeks and taped other weeks.
Very good. That's
yeah.
That's cool. Well, we appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us this morning.
I appreciate you, Jude.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah. Well, we'll be listening. Can't wait till 7 a.m. tomorrow. Gonna have to rush home from Mass to listen.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
midnight Mass tonight.
There you go. Have a great day and a good show tomorrow, Frank.
Thank you, boys. All right. Thank you very much for having me on.
All right.
Alrighty. Bye.
And Frank Lyons, like all of our guests, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. And Frank certainly embraces the race. There's no question about that. And now it's time for the Blood Horse News Update. Baffert-trained Zulfikar delivers in debut. Drawing away from the field without seeing the whip, Bob Baffert trained Zulfikar delivered on his lofty price tag, winning his debut by 3 3/4 lengths July 7th at Los Alamitos Racecourse. Although the Bodemeister colt broke inward leaving the gate in the maiden race for two-year-olds, jockey Martin Garcia was able to steady him and take up position just behind the leader, Fast Cotton. The first quarter mile went in 22:18 and the half was 44:98. Zulfikar stuck his head in front, and heading into the stretch, he pulled away to win at odds of 3-5. The final time for the 5-furlong test was 56.73 for the $750,000 purchase by agent Donato Lani at the Fasig Tipton Gulfstream Select 2-year-old in training sale. Baffert has another one, and that's your Blood Horse news update for Saturday. And, wow.
Yeah.
Old Baffert.
Yeah. I'd seen, you know, some people questioning on social media why they were running him at Los Alamitos instead of waiting for an opening week maiden race at Del Mar. But I think the point was made. They've got plans for Best Pal Stakes and rather have a little bit more time. So this maiden race yesterday fit the bill, and he was super impressive. Like you said, Bodemeister sired this year's Kentucky Derby winner out of a mineshaft mare. So really promising young individual.
Yeah, really cool horse. And, boy, Baffert is just enjoying a huge year and a fantastic stable.
Yeah, this 2-year-old colt and then Diamonds and Pearls, 2-year-old filly last week won by 7 lengths or so at Santa Anita. So he's got two huge looking juveniles, male and female, for Del Mar.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. When we come back, we'll have Danny Ward with the talk about his filly at Delaware and the late Tinner's Way. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention horsemen, get ready for great racing and big purses at Kentucky Downs, highlighted by two new greatest stakes events in 2017 and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies. Kentucky Downs will offer one of the world's most lucrative racing programs during its 5-day all turf season, September 2nd to the 14th. Two new grade 3 races, the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint and Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf, join the $600,000 grade 3 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup for an average exceeding $1.68 million in purses a day. Tops in the country. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
3-time graded stakes winning millionaire Ironicus defeated 20 grade 1 winners. In the Dixie Stakes, he defeated Canadian champion and horse of the year Up With The Birds and set a new course record at Saratoga. Runner-up in the grade 1 Manhattan and Shadwell Turf Mile, Ironicus ran 7 triple-digit buyers, including the Fort Marcy Stakes. Half to 4 graded stakes winners, Ironicus has the speed, class, and bloodlines to become the next great sire by Distorted Humor. Ironicus at Claiborne Farm.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their 3-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on your Darley Taking the Reins performer of the week.
Sunny Skies is still in front of length and a half. Final try from Upset Brewing on the outside with 100 yards left. Sunny Skies still the leader, Upset Brewing still second, and Sunny Skies the winner.
Animal Kingdom stormed to victory in the 2011 Run for the Roses, becoming the only horse to win the Kentucky Derby in his first start on dirt. And now his undefeated daughter, Sunny Skies, shares her father's fondness for Churchill Downs and winning the Debutante Stakes in the Slop this past Saturday. And that brilliant victory beneath the Twins' fires makes Sunny Skies your Darley Taking the Reins performer of the week. Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom, a champion 3-year-old and brilliant winner of the Kentucky Derby and Dubai World Cup, rated 128 by Timeform. Animal Kingdom possessed unique talent as a grade 1 horse on dirt, turf, and synthetic. Learn more about Animal Kingdom and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Down to a two-horse race. Chris McCarron and Best Pal on the outside. Tinner's Way and Eddie Dollar, who say they come through the lane together. Best Pal sticks his neck out and goes for the wire, but Tinner's Way is all hot at the rail. Tinner's Way, it's just a matter of strength in the last 50 yards, and the strength belongs to Tinner's Way.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld, and I'm in the Lexington of Jimmy John studio with James Scully. And I can remember that race like it was yesterday. This is like down memory lane for me, this show. That was so impressive. Beating Best Pal. Unbelievable. Right. Yes. And we're joined now by Danny Ward, who's the assistant trainer for Jerry Hollendorfer. They've got It Tis Well in the Delaware Oaks today. And one of the reasons I wanted to have Danny on was to talk about Tinner's Way, because he worked for Bobby Frankel for many years. And I'm sure he has some memories of Tinner's Way, who passed away this week at age 27. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Here in Delaware, waiting for the 11th race.
6:35 post. You got a long wait.
6:35. I know. It's beautiful here, though. It's a really, really nice place. And we're gonna have Songbird. This filly's gonna go back on Tuesday, and then Songbird is gonna come Wednesday here. So,
so you won't have any time off. The stall will not be cold.
I'm gonna go back, but then Jerry will come with Songbird. But it's. I think she's going to like it here. It's really nice here. Beautiful place.
Yeah, it is a beautiful racetrack, and a lot of people like to go there and race there.
Awesome paddock there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So Tinner's Way, 27. Talk about him a little bit. He was an awesome horse, and believe it or not, he had a huge following here in Kentucky. He was at Old Friends Farm, and a lot of people, were saddened by losing him.
He was a really neat horse, a kind horse, and he came along at a very important time. You know, we're just starting to get horses from Judmon, and he won some important races, and that really helped us a lot to establish ourselves, you know, with those owners. And the first one, he beat Best Pal. And the first year, he beat Bertrando in the race. And we'd had him, and we lost him to another trainer, and then Tinner's Way beat him. So it was an important race, and he really seemed to get good right about Del Mar, and he won that race two times. And later on, we had Skimming for the same owners, and he won the race twice. So it was a new race, and we had a lot of success in it.
Yeah, those million-dollar races, believe it or not, were super scarce in those days. There weren't very many of them. The first million-dollar racing in California was the Hollywood Futurity, and I remember Gary Jones won that race. I got a cup of coffee from him the next morning, and I kept the dollar bill that he bought the coffee with. I said, that's part of the million right there.
Exactly.
But
that was he was an important horse. You know, he was by secretary and everything. He was a really neat horse, and he would run a lot of times, and you know, he'd only keep his form for a couple races. You had to really get him right for the big race, and he won the Californian there at Hollywood, but mostly he was really good at Del Mar. He won the race three times, actually.
He also defeated Concern. You know, Concern, Best Pal, Bertrando, mm-hmm. beat a lot of mm-hmm. nice horses in those in those two back-to-back Pacific Classics. And just looking up history, he started in Europe with Gosden. He ran like seven times on the turf. And when Frankel first got him, his first race stateside was in a grass race. And then really, you know, found his niche, his success on the dirt. And I was wondering, did you guys have an idea that he might be good on dirt when you first got him?
You know, most of the time the horses would come from over there having run on the grass, and they were over here hoping that they would turn into dirt horses. A lot of them did. And, you know, you were always, Marquetry is another one. And, you know, he came over and he ran on the grass a few times and ended up winning his big races on the dirt. So that was the idea, was to get a lot of those horses from Europe and bring them over here and try to see if they would be dirt horses. And Tinner's Way was one of them.
Yeah, he was so talented. And one of the reasons that I got to like him much later on was when I was dating my wife, a client had a horse that he wanted to sell for $1,000. And I always liked this little horse. His name was Lil Red. And he was by Tinner's Way. And So we ended up buying him. I was shocked when my girlfriend at the time said she wanted to buy this $1,000 horse. I said, "No, you don't." And she said, "I really do." And he won, I think, three races for us. We trained him on the farm and had some fun with him. He was a cool horse. But I used to go to old friends and visit Tinner's Way. I posted a picture the other day. The last time I saw him was last November, you know, he was still playful and having a good time, but it's too bad he's gone. But he was a fun horse to be around.
Yeah, they would have to really like him being around him because he was really a neat horse to work with. So I could see how they would really like him.
Yeah, he's a big fan favorite here. So let's move forward to 6:35. Are you going to play golf in between?
Yeah. No, there's a course right here, you know.
Yeah.
There's a course right next to the track. When you're driving in, you can see it. It looks really nice.
No time for that.
Right here.
It Tis Well. Yep. She's such a good filly. She her race in the Honey Bee was spectacular. The Santa Anita Oaks, she got beat a long ways by a nice filly, but still managed to finish third. Last time out in the Summertime Oaks, just kind of a so-so performance. She's 8-5 on the morning line. Class relief. What's the deal?
Well, I think you should watch that Summertime Oaks.
Yeah, trouble trip.
It was a disaster all the way around. She had nowhere to go, and it looked like with the trouble on the first turn, you got her tucked in good, but they backed it up right to her. You know, the horse on the lead, and our other filly was right in front of her, and they just slowed it down, and this filly had nowhere to go. It's just standing up on it, and then think that she would, you know, back up out of that, but she tried to come again in the stretch on the inside and got shut off by her other filly, by the way.
Yeah,
but it was a disaster.
Do you think the blinkers that day affected her? Like maybe she couldn't see enough, or
no? I think that they have really helped her in her works, because she's even in the race in Oakland, you could see that she run up there and then kind of drop back and run up and drop back. She was running in spots, which is a horse that seemed like we'd try the blinkers on, and she really trained better, not looking around. And even when she was winning, she was looking and lugging in and everything looking at her. And I think to help her, just got to get a clear trip.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times the second race in blinkers is better anyway.
And
she gets Drayden Van Dyke back. He rode her the first time, won by 10, and then came back and ran second to Unique Bella, which is no disgrace.
No disgrace. She's going to start training pretty soon, Unique Bella, probably by the time we get to Del Mar. But this, you know, this filly, she ran second in that Santa Inez, and Drayden was on her, and you know, she made a nice move on the turn, and then started lugging in and everything. That's why we tried the blinkers, because she's just looking at everything. You know, even when she's running, she would be looking at the, you know, on the backside, looking at something else, the trees or something. But I think with the blinkers, he worked her the other day, Drayden, because he was hurt. That's why he wasn't on her. But he worked her the other day and said she was really focused and had a really good work. So he knows her, and I'm confident with him. Confident in her, and I think they get along good together.
Yeah, Donnie Harris, one of the private clockers out there in California, he talked about her work, and he said she runs angry. He was really impressed with her work. You know, she wants to get it done.
It was just unfortunate last time. She really looked like she was much the best. It turned out so bad for us. We had another filly in there that was a big price and ended up running third, got beat like a half a length. And then, so she got a graded stakes placing. Not only they took her down and they put her fifth below this filly and put her up to fourth, we got nothing. You
know? That
they
sucks.
It couldn't have worked out any worse.
That's brutal. But, that is so brutal.
I think she'll rebound today with a good race.
All right. Danny, I was going to ask you about another horse you all have in today in the Bertrando at Los Alamitos. You have Tamman Guard. Making his second start back. You know, everybody remembers he's a California-bred gelding. Shared Belief was a cow-bred gelding, you know, great, great horse. And, you know, Tamman Guard really got off to a good start, I thought, last year. Came to Del Mar when he ran fourth in that real good deal stakes. He ran twice at Del Mar, and then he got the rest of the year off. and really thought he came back with a super sharp allowance win, beating open rivals at Santa Anita last time. He's looking for his first stakes win today, facing Cal Bred foes. You know, some of these horses, Soy Fit and others, have a lot of stakes experience. What are your thoughts about Tam and Guard?
He's got a good future. You know, we had a little some issues last year while he was lugging out and everything, but the time off seemed to help that. He has not been trying to lug out at all this year. And unfortunately, since he trains over there regularly, they decided to run him in that spot. It's a tough spot. You know, there's some good horses in there. But, you know, when he ran last year in the El Cajon, which was renamed the Shared Belief Stakes, he ran, you know, against a horse named Accelerated. He was right there. That horse turned out to be a nice horse. So, you know, he's got that class.
In dirt mile.
And he's fresh and he's sound, and he's doing really good, and he trains over there. So he'll have an advantage over some of the horses. Troy Fed's very tough over there, and he won a nice race at Santa Anita. So he's a tough horse.
Do you think he'll stretch out in distance going forward, or do you think maybe perhaps middle distances are best fit for him right now?
I think you go a distance. I think he's a different horse than last year. He's a lot happier. He's a lot, you know, he's not trying to get out or anything. He's got a good future. I think he'll run long because he's relaxing more this year.
Well, Baffert always said the Midnight Lutes should go long. Midnight Lute would have gone long if he didn't have breathing problems.
If he didn't have like five surgeries.
Yeah.
But
so that's something I always keep in mind when I'm handicapping.
Mm-hmm.
So
he certainly looked like he would. You know, he was a big, good-looking horse, and this horse is the same. He's a nice-looking horse. He certainly looks like a rider.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he can get the job done for you today and go on to bigger and better things. He's got a nice form. We'd be remiss before we let you go if we didn't get a Songbird update. What's the latest?
She worked last week, and I don't know if we're going to work again on Tuesday. But she's going to fly on Wednesday right here to Delaware, and she's ready. I mean, she had a super work the other day. So she's ready to go, and they'll be ready. She'll probably go right in the same stall when this filly leaves in Tom Proctor's barn. It'll be exciting. You know, we got to earn her money. Have to remember that. But, you know, she's doing really good. And I tell you, I don't know how many races they have in mind for her, but if you see her and compare the way she looked last year, this year, she's really filled out. And she's bigger and stronger, and she's very happy, and she's going to do what she always does.
You know, all the racing fans are hoping to see her again at Saratoga. I mean, she ran so big there last year. So
it's very likely. Yeah. It's very likely, you know, because this one of the reasons for running here on the 15th is, you know, you got more time between now and August 27th for the personal entrance, which is a mile and eighth. It's on Travers Day. It's a possibility. You know, that race at Del Mar, which is the 30th, doesn't give you as much time. So, you know, we'll have more time by running in this race. So it's a possibility, you know, depending on how she runs and how she comes back. But that's on the, you know, that's on the radar for sure, that race.
I love all you great trainers. You know exactly the date. You know who's really great at that is Kieran McLaughlin. He's the greatest at it. He knows the date of every race that's in his head. That's why he's a good poker player.
With that, you know, with that stakes condition book comes out, you really need to. You know, you need to because you gotta ship around when you get to Del Mar and you have 3-year-olds. You gotta start looking if you want to keep them on the dirt and going on the road. And at this time of year, just being at this track here, I mean, these guys are looking at 4 or 5 different books all the time with all the tracks that are close to here. So it's important. And, you know, she's won 8 grade ones at 6 different tracks. So,
yeah, phenomenal.
I mean, she'll have no trouble shipping anywhere. This will be a nice place for her.
She's an amazing mare. Well, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing what you know about Tinner's Way and your stable today and down the road to next week. It's an exciting time to be in the Hollendorfer barn, that's for sure.
Best of luck, Danny.
Nice talking to you. Thanks for having me.
And Danny Ward, like all of our guests, will get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion, wear what you love at embracetherace.com. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Adina Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording eight fires from 107 to 117 and nine Ragozins from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings, Fort Larned. Brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It knows and knows to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic Mr. Prospector Speed and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
American Pharoah, through it all, still in front, opens back up here by 2.5, 3 lengths to the top of the stretch. FNX continues to give chase, Frosted third, Totalist in fourth, 1/4 mile from home, and American Pharoah is into the stretch at Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup Classic. A 5-length lead as he comes to the eighth pole. FNX second, Frosted far back in third, Totalist is in fourth, into the final furlong. There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He wins it in 2 minutes flat.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld, and I'm in studio with James Scully. And continuing on our memory lane, the great Kurt Becker with the call of American Pharoah, winning the Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland. That was a great day, huh?
Oh yeah, phenomenal day. I mean, what a way to go out on his career too. Completing a Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup Classic, the first to do that, and hopefully we'll see another in our lifetime.
Well, we have Jack Brothers joining us now, and he's going to talk to us about a really cool event for a great cause tonight. It's happening at McCarthy's on South Upper in Lexington, and almost everybody in the horse business knows McCarthy's. And Jack, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me this morning.
This benefit is for Mark Snake Thompson, and talk about Mark a little bit and why the benefit is so important.
Well, I mean, Mark's been a fixer at the sales the last couple of decades. Previous to that, he worked on the backstretch. He was a valet, you know, at several tracks, and he's just a really well-known, very popular personality here at the track and at the sale grounds. And he had a long, huge following, and he mentored a lot of the sales help that's active today. And he's worked for several outfits over the years, and again, he's just a very popular individual that obviously has endured this crisis since it happened just prior to Breeders' Cup last year as he was getting ready for the November sale. So he was active one day and suffered this stroke, and it's been a challenge ever since.
Yeah, and he's fighting hard and trying to get back. As everybody knows, when you have something like that happen to you, money is an issue. So you and some of your closest friends have put together this fundraiser tonight at McCarthy's. Talk about the event and what's been planned for it.
Well, I mean, it's been a great team effort from the beginning. I mean, Mike Riccio kind of got the ball rolling, and then Doug and Katie Coffin have been aboard, and Jack Nelman. And then just recently, Pat Costello and Leslie Campion from Paramount Sales, Pat kind of had the idea of, why don't we do a fundraiser around the Fazzie Tipton July sale, which, from the get-go, we've pretty much said yes to anybody that has an idea that raises funds, because in instances like this, I mean, you can't raise enough money. So Pat got with Peter Kiley at McCarthy's, and the event started to take form, and we've had a couple of meetings as a team, and it's gone really well. The reception's been very, very positive, and I expect a great turnout tonight.
Yeah, I saw a lot of things on social media about it. It was very encouraging, and you've got a fantastic lineup of auction items. That's why I picked the American Pharoah rejoin clip, because you're auctioning off an American Pharoah halter, also an Arrogate halter, Nyquist, Curlin.
Right.
Some of the greatest horses ever. That's got to be a big draw for a lot of people. And then you've got seating packages at Churchill and Saratoga and Paul Brown Stadium where the Bengals play. So
right.
It's going to be a fantastic auction, just sounds like a fantastic evening.
It is. I mean, and again, well, you mentioned a few of the more popular items, but I really think we have something for everybody. Here we have, including a zip line tour. So,
wow.
We have shoes from Warfront and Secretary. We have an Arrogate halter as well that Bob Baffert gave us, AP Indy. We have a halter from each of the Triple Crown winners this year. And Horse of the Year, Ghost Zapper, and Serena Song are also among the group. So it's going to be, we have golf packages.
UK basketball, UK Florida basketball tickets, which will
exactly.
be tremendous.
So, again, you mentioned Saratoga. We have Keeneland and Churchill boxes. We have Prince from Crossgate, Tony Landon Prince. Taylor May gave us a golf and dinner package. So, again, I think we're going to have something for everybody.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you get a couple of pops into the visitors and then start the auction. Lord knows where those items are going to go.
Right. And, Leslie Caffey's been organizing with a lot of effort. We're going to have a silent and a live auction. And we expect a very good turnout tonight. It's going to be a great event.
Is there any cover to get in, or how does that work?
Well, basically, individuals can donate at the door if they like. And listen, nothing's mandatory when they come. We want everybody to have a good time. If they can contribute, that's great. If they can't, come and have fun with the rest of the horse community.
Yeah, it's a great place to meet and greet and talk to people. There's also a GoFundMe page for Snake.
That's right. If anyone wants to contribute that way, they could just go to Mark Snake Thompson's Medical Fund on GoFundMe, and it'll go to a good cause. We've set up a trust. If anyone wants to send a check, we've established a Mark Thompson Supplemental Special Needs Trust, and we've coordinated that with Central Bank right here in Lexington, and that's looking after all his medical needs and his care at Morning Point.
Well, that's a good cause and a great thing to do if you've got a few extra bucks, or even, you know, make a bet today and pledge that to the fund. That would be a good way to do it. You know, bet $10 on something, and if it wins, send the money for right. Mark and his care. So
we'll even accept vouchers.
Perfect. That's good. That's fantastic. Clean out your drawers and send some of those vouchers.
The outpouring of support's been tremendous from the get-go, and you know, I'm really proud of the, you know, people that have helped get it to this point, and you know, we really think he's turned the corner. He's on the road to recovery, and Doug and Katie Cawthon brought him to a neurologist this week because he's going to need a knee surgery in, later this year. So, you know, we're on the right track to you know, getting him back to, you know, be mobile and healthy again.
Well, it's quite a tribute to him that so many people are interested in his well-being and want to make sure that he's taken care of. And hats off to you and everybody else who's put this together. Leslie Campion, such a great girl,
and no doubt,
one of the hardest working people I know. So
absolutely,
it's going to be a great evening, and hope everybody can come out for a little while and bring money.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope to see everybody there. It's going to be fun.
All right, thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack,
guys,
for all you do.
Me. I really appreciate it.
All right,
thank you.
Yeah, that's that's quite a thing when you know, horse racing's like a family.
Yeah.
And everybody pulls together when the time comes, if anybody needs anything, and it's a real tribute to Snake. I mean, great guy. Been around for years, and really happy to hear that he's on the road to recovery.
Absolutely. Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's just a wonderful thing to see people rally around individual like him and help him out. He's just, you know, very loved.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, we'll take our last break a little early because I know you want to talk about some races. the great handicapper that you are, and I'm interested to hear what you have to say about that. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later. Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld, and I'm in the Jimmy John's of Lexington studio here in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky. James Scully by my side through this whole show, this whole ordeal.
It's flown by, dude.
It really has. It's been a fun show. We've had a lot of interesting guests, and that always makes it go quickly. So, James, you're quite the handicapper.
Yes.
And you do this for a living. So I'm interested to see who you like in the two big races at Belmont today, the Belmont Oaks and the Belmont Derby. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, I think people wondered a little bit a few years ago when they moved these races from the fall, renamed them, and moved them to the July 4th, the weekend around the July 4th, how they would do. And I just think it's been phenomenal success. They're both, you know, seven-figure races, but they've gotten a lot of international participation every year since it's moved to July. And once again, this year, we've got three international raiders in both races. And the first of them is the Belmont Oaks for three-year-old fillies going a mile and a quarter on the turf, 12-horse field. And really interesting to see the sister Charlie in there. I think she's going to be the big favorite for Chad Brown. Comes off a troubled runner-up effort in the French Oaks where she was second. And one thing about her, though, is that she will have to overcome the outside post. And but, you know, still, I mean, clear of the horse to beat. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about her.
Well, I like her a lot. I think she's obviously the horse to beat. She ran second in the Pre-Diane, which is one of the most prestigious races in France, in Europe, if right. not the world. I mean, that's a big Grade One race. It has a storied history, and she's obviously very talented. She never runs a bad race, and I think going a mile and a quarter of the post isn't really going to be an issue, especially with a jockey the caliber of John Velasquez. I mean, this guy could work out a trip if he started behind the starting gate. So he's arguably as good as it gets. So I think she's a formidable foe. I don't know if anybody in this race has to win because it's pretty competitive. Chad Brown's got four
of them, right? Absolutely. It's interesting, you know, I'd seen the stat. He is 0-for-8 with horses that have run in the last 75 days since shipping internationally, but, you know, impossible to put too much stock. He gets them ready to run. I just think that's a little bit of an aberration right now.
Yeah, well, one thing I've learned from being a fantasy baseball enthusiast is you can be 0-for-4, you know, and then you can get four hits in a row and be batting .500. So,
right.
It's yeah, those kind of stats, especially with a small sample, hard to deal with. But
I mean that, yeah, and you know, like I said, I think a lot of people will be single in Sister Charlie in the late pick four. She did have some trouble last time, so you know, sometimes horses can, you know, can find trouble for themselves in multiple starts. If I'm spreading on the pick four tickets, the horse I'm going to include in there with Sister Charlie is Beau Recall. I've been impressed by how this filly's been coming on for Simon Callahan. I think real highly of Sir Cat Sally out on the West Coast. We should have asked Danny Ward about her.
About Sir Cat Sally?
Yeah. But,
she's not running today.
She's not running today, though, exactly.
She is a runner, though, huh?
She is. Undefeated. Yeah. Just been phenomenal.
Yeah, look at this filly and you go, oh, she's a little bit of a hanger, you know, but then you see Sir Cat Sally three times in a row. I don't know anybody that can get by Sir Cat Sally.
Yeah, and the fact, you know, you look at that pedigree, you're thinking, hey, I mean, you know, it's a, you know, two Irish bred dam and sire. You know, she ran her first three starts here were at a mile, and her last race, a mile and eighth, was arguably her best race. So perhaps added ground helps her as well. And Flavian Pratt will be under rider. Like you said, Brown has another first time Euro uni that's making her U.S. debut off a stakes win in France. And of course, New Money Honey, who's the probable second choice behind Sister Charlie in the wagering, coming off a sharp win in the Wonder again and won the Juvenile Fillies turf.
Yeah, I think you know, she's a very good filly as well, New Money Honey, and I think she's going to love the mile and a quarter.
Yeah,
talk about versatility. She can come from way off the pace or, like last time, go wire to wire. So
yeah,
she's not going to need to get any particularly great trip. She's makes her own trip, and Javier Castellano, about another guy, about as good as it gets. So I'm going to give you a little inside information that I garnered on my trip to Canada for the Queen's Plate. So, as I mentioned before, we were in Mike Doyle's barn, and I got to go in the stall with Holy Helena and talk to her a little bit. She's just an absolute doll. And after we were through with our interview and stuff that we did for the broadcast, we stood out in front of Mike's barn and talked for a little bit, and he said, "I've got a surprise for Chad Brown." And the surprise is Grizzle.
Yes.
Now, Grizzle's going to be like 30 to 1, he's, 40 to 1.
Yeah, big price.
50 to 1. I don't know. Whatever she's going to be. And he really thinks that he has a bona fide chance to beat Chad Brown. Now, you know, he likes to pop off once in a while. But,
right.
You know, I had another trainer up there tell me that he was upset at the morning line at his horse. He thought the horse had a really big chance, paid $93. So, you know, you just don't know, but I would certainly, if I'm playing exotics, which, you know, that could be the
you're apt to do
road to hell, but I would throw Grizzle in. I might just play the race that way, like throw Grizzle in some tries and exactas or something, and try to make a little score with not much money, as opposed to like chunking it in on the favorite kind of thing.
Well, she's definitely exiting two nice wins. He switched her to Polytrack after two races at Gulfstream on the turf. And, you know, those races really could be a confidence booster. Perhaps she is turning the corner and improving. And I could see it. You know, I think people might be thrown off by the Tepeda. I think I said Polytrack, but Tepeda races. But to me, you know, she's a turf filly, and, you know, it makes sense to go back to grass with her. The other big race, of course, is the final leg of the late pick four there, the final of five stakes, five graded stakes, and it's the Belmont Derby at a mile and a quarter. That race came up, I think, much more contentious, where you're not going to have really a solid favorite and solid second choice like Sister Charlie and New Money Honey. This race, you know, to me, it's up for grabs for favoritism, and I certainly wouldn't be want to play a horse at like 2-1 or 5-2 in the spot.
Yeah, it's a wide open kind of race too. I think Good Samaritan looks awful salty though. I know he's been second the last two times, but I think a mile and a quarter, if there was ever a horse that seems like a mile and a quarter horse,
right,
it's Good Samaritan, and he drew the inside post, which I think is a benefit to him. Rosario sticks around. I like that. I think he's going to be pretty salty. I love the name Called to the Bar.
Oh yeah, and that's one of two for well, no, that's one of three Euros in there. Called to the Bar for sure. O'Brien has two of them. That one's with Pia Brandt. I had seen a piece where somebody was insinuating that White Cliffs of Dover, who's a little bit of a sprinter, set the pace last time in the Jersey Stakes, might be sent over as a little bit of a rabbit for his stablemate Homesman, who, you know, posted a nice group three win two back and comes off a handicap race at Royal Ascot. But how about this take, Jude? And this is sort of the way I was, like, reading it when I was, like, getting into this, studying it. I could make a case for Good Samaritan, Ticonderoga, Oscar Performance. And I'll just go ahead and throw Big Score into the mix because, you know, he's been running in some similar races. But one thing I notice is that foursome is really just taking turns beating each other.
Right,
you know, or, right, you know, in multiple races. And to me, this race really sets up well for like an up-and-coming type. And I look at two horses in here, Arklow and Yoshida, who both just broke their maiden two starts ago. at Keeneland. Essentially the same race. It was split in division, same day, mile and eighth races. I think they're up and coming, and those are my top two picks.
Yeah, I think Yoshida's very interesting. Well, that was fast. Chauncey's cutting us off here. We got the music. Well, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks
doing
for
this
having
me.
I really enjoyed it, Jude.
Oh, good. I'm glad. And we also want to thank our guests, Ignacio Correas IV, Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton, Frank Lyons. Listen to his show tomorrow, 7 to 8, 1300 a.m. Danny Ward and Jack Brothers. And head to McCarthy's tonight for that that great fundraiser. So it's going to be a good day of racing. Don't forget to pick up your Pope Jude sheet if you've got a hangover or something. And for James Scully, this is Jude Feld. Good night, Barbados.